This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this.
Now, that kind of talk this week dragged Australia's share market to
a
two-year low.
There are, of course, complex reasons for that.
He was the big spender. The big spender.
Doing the grocery shopping can take a huge chunk out of the family budget.
And that's finance.
Hello and welcome to Comedian versus Economist. We demystify the world of money and help you get a handle on the bigger picture. My name's Adam and we're joined as always by my little older brother and real life economist, Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Yeah, good day, Adam. How are you going?
Doing very well, thank you. Massive show coming up, Thomas, but everyone in the whole entire world right now is talking about FTX, the crypto exchange. It's the biggest story going around, so we wanted to make sure we gave it the proper treatment. So we actually released a separate episode all about FTX, which is in your podcast feeds right now if you haven't heard it. There was a lot to unpack. So, yeah, hopefully that's good news to you. Christmas has come early. You'll find that available right now in your regular CVE feed. And also don't forget The Dive and also Crypto Curious, two other great podcasts from Equity Mates Media, also covering that story. So make sure you check those out as well. But on with today's show, Thomas. And last week we saw the, response when the U.S. Fed hiked interest rates, and I told you the market had two reactions. And this week we got hooray as the US inflation data was released. Apparently, as a nation, we're taking too many sickies and it's costing the economy big time. Thankfully, a new study has found a way to blame that on young people. But first, we're going to hear Brookfield Asset Management's origin story. Not a story about where they came from. They just want to buy Origin. Thomas, what's going on?
AFL's calling it a monster takeover bid. It's the biggest of the year, so in terms of mergers and acquisitions. So it's a big deal. Big deal in dollar terms, also in terms of the impact on the energy market. Mm-hmm. So Brookfield is teaming up with EIG, which is another asset manager, and they're offering $18.4 billion to buy Origin and take it off the ASX and take it private.
Yeah.
So
is that a good thing?
Yeah, well, in and of itself, it's neither here nor there, but it's depends what they're going to do with it. I mean, I like it. I'm a fan.
Okay,
yeah, gets my tick of approval.
So Brookfield, they were last teaming up with Mike Cannon-Brookes to buy AGL.
Yeah, that's right. So they had that AGL offer that got knocked back. Yeah, and then Brookfield was part of that one as well.
Right,
but. Yeah, it's interesting the two deals, like they're completely at odds with each other. So AGL, the bid for AGL which Brooks and Brookfield launched, they made the offer on the Friday, it got leaked on the Sunday, and then on Monday the board killed it. And they were only offering a takeover premium of 11%. So sort of people saying, like, in hindsight, it's a bit of a farce. It's a bit sloppy.
Right.
Maybe it was an opening play, it was an ambit play, but it looks a bit sloppy. You compare that with the Origin deal. Origin's paying a 55% premium, so $9 a share, compared to 11% for the AGL bid. So 55, that's really big. They've been in negotiations with Origin's board for 3 months and keeping it secret. and Origin's board has negotiated up that price. So it was, something like in the sevens somewhere. They've negotiated it up into the nines.
Wow.
Yeah, saying it just looks a lot better. It looks a lot more professional in that sense of, like, they've managed it. Both parties have managed this negotiation really well. And right. Because the boards come out, because Brookfield and EIG say we want to buy it, and the boards come out at the same time and said, we think we should sell it, we think it's a good deal.
Right, that's a very different narrative to the AGL thing, which was like almost was hostile, kind of like we're buying it because we want to run it into the ground. Well, quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that would cause untold pollution to the earth. It's quite the opposite of what Cannon Brooks was trying to achieve by buying AGL. He wanted to shut it down, right? He wanted to shut down the coal-fired plants.
Yeah, that's right. Like he wanted to stop the demerger. So they were planning to separate their retail and their generation arms. Yeah. And he said, no, that's not a good idea.
Right.
And so that's still playing out. Tomorrow, we're recording Monday night. Tomorrow, we'll see if Cannon Brooks gets his board nominations up onto the board.
Oh, yeah.
Looking like he might. He's got four. Looking like he'll get three of the four. So that's still going on, but it's kind of a sideshow now to what's happening with Origin. So it's really Origin's leading the way. And the interesting thing is that, you know, you think about where this leaves AGL and Origin, they're both competing in the same place, but Origin is already a long way further ahead on the road of decarbonisation. It's got the Eraring plant in Lake Macquarie, and that's the oldest and clunkiest and most polluting coal-fired station in the country. Mm. But they're already well on the way to shutting it down, and they're going to do that fairly soon. AGL still has three coal assets in operation, and they're not looking to shut down until the 2030s somewhere. So Origin's right. Closing theirs, already planning to close Eraring in 2025.
I think AGL aren't even convinced that they're necessarily a bad idea, are they?
Yeah, you get that sense. You get that sense.
I mean, sure, we'll shut them down. We're going to do a bit more digging and just work out if they really need to be shut down. But, yeah, we hear what you're saying. We're hearing you. But, yeah, we'll just see. We'll see how it plays out.
So Origin's already a long way further ahead. They've then got Brookfield coming in and saying, we're going to take it private. Taking it private means they're not paying shareholders a dividend, which should mean $500 million a year that they can just reinvest back in the business.
Right.
So that gives them a leg up. They've also, Brookfield's also saying they're buying it at this price, but they're also investing $20 billion over the next 7 years.
Yeah, wow.
To help with the... help with this decarbonisation. So it's a lot of money coming into Origin to make this transition happen. AGL is flat-footed. They're already behind the curve in terms of these ageing coal assets which they need to shut down, and they don't have $20 billion in the bank that Origin now has. So it's like things are really starting to shift against AGL.
Right.
So yeah, it's not
is this going to have a big impact on prices too? Like, because AGL is a big gas player, right? And we've saw with gas and electricity, like prices going through the roof recently. We looked at a couple of weeks ago on the show, we looked at Western Australia and how they were maintaining their own reserves, keeping prices down. Does any of that change? Does the market change?
The structure is changing. So Origin with Brookfield will keep the generation and the retail assets, and then they're going to sell the LNG plant that they own. They don't own it. They got like a 27% stake, I think it is, in Gladstone's LNG,
right?
AP LNG, 27.5%, and they're going to sell that to EIG. So EIG is an interesting sort of asset manager. They only do energy assets. That's all they invest in.
Niche.
So they're going to take that LNG processing stake and take it off their hands. And that's the politically sensitive one. Like people are saying, like, you know, that's not such a great thing. You don't need to be in that. So that kind of like frees Origin up and really helps them with their decarbonisation with Brookfield. So that's an interesting shift in the market. But the other interesting thing I think was really interesting was that EIG's chairman came out and said, like, yeah, we're kind of expecting there to be a windfall tax. And he's saying, like, the chief executive, Blair Thomas, he's saying, we understand the pressures that Australia is going under, and we're seeing it in really every other market that we operate around the world. We're a big producer in the UK's North Sea, and the UK has introduced a windfall profit tax. You've got market intervention in Germany right now. And so this is a phenomenon that's playing out around the world. And so I think the way I read that is like saying, yeah, it's kind of reasonable, and it is reasonable. Like energy prices have spiked because there's a war in Ukraine. It's a terrible thing.
Mm.
It's not a great outcome that consumers are paying extreme prices while energy companies are making out like bandits. It's not really
because
cool.
of a humanitarian crisis.
Like, yeah.
So yeah, there's human suffering over there, which has led to human suffering here. Which
and
means
we're making some money.
Massive profits for any humans involved in energy production.
There's more and more talk about some kind of either export levy or windfall profit tax or something like that. Treasury's released a report in Australia saying that they think they want to see something like that.
Mm.
So it's looking like it's going to happen. And EIG, the newest player on the block, says that like they expect something to happen.
Mm.
You know, they've probably got a view on what it should be, but it probably, if anything, I think it smooths the way towards some sort of windfall tax, which was probably coming already. The other thing is if you get that domestic reservation or an export levy, that drives down the local price.
Right.
So to the extent it sort of ushers in some sort of windfall tax, export levy, domestic reservation, something like that, it potentially puts some downward pressure on energy prices.
Hmm. Is that domestic reservation, is that a government thing, or is that something that Origin would implement themselves as a private company?
I suppose it could be voluntary, but I think it would normally be a government mandate,
right.
I think. But theoretically it could
not
be
if
voluntary.
We just slapped them with a windfall tax, they're not going to look to do us any favours.
Yeah.
Right, Thomas, US inflation data came out last week. What did we learn?
Yeah, it was a nice number. Markets liked it. It was 7.7% annual inflation for October. That was down from 8.2% in September and was better than expected. So,
brilliant. Hooray.
Yeah. Hooray. Yeah.
It's over. Totally. We're out of the woods. We made it.
Yeah.
We can all start buying up stocks again.
And that's what markets did. NASDAQ jumped 7% in a day. S&P up 5.5%. They're both the biggest jumps since the immediate rebounds out of COVID in March 2020.
Mm.
Big tech had a big day. Apple was up 9%, Spotify 10%, Meta 10%, Nvidia 14%, Square 18%.
The list goes on.
Makes sense, but yeah. But that's
this
what
is
we
the
got.
New is this the new normal they talked about with post COVID? The new normal will be shares just going up and down by in like 5% increments now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we talked about this a little while ago, saying like the market rebounds after a bear market tend to be rapid.
Mm.
Like it's quite easy to miss the rebounds because they happen in chunks and early. Like so, you typically bounce back, but you also have a number of false signals on the way. So it's quite.
So which one's this? We won't. You can tell us in a year or two.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, my punt would be false signal.
Ooh.
Because if you, yeah, okay. Like you look at it, like Square up 18% on inflation running at 7.7%.
On a 0.5% decrease in inflation. That's 20% up for Square.
Right, nothing about that makes sense. Yeah, because like 7.7% is still not a great number. It was better than expected and it's down, which says yes, maybe inflation is peaking.
Mm.
But inflation's not down, it's just lower than what it was. We're still wanting to get it down towards 2 to 3%.
Mm.
So we're still a long way off that.
So markets are future looking though, right?
That's true.
And so they're just taking it presumably as like this is the beginning of deflation.
Disinflation.
Yeah,
that's right. But it's a lot to hang your hat on, just that number. I mean, it's also like day trading, you know, day-to-day price movements are a lot driven by just momentum. You know, that has a big factor.
Mm.
There's always that tempting to make that narrative such and such data point happened, markets as a collective interpreted it in a single way and decided to pump stocks. Like, it just never happens like that. Like,
yeah.
It's always tempting to tell that story.
I did hear, you'll be pleased to know I've started listening to an economics podcast. Well, it's a finance one. NAB morning call. It's quite good. It's only 15 minutes. And they're saying there's a couple of side stories as well. So there was like, there was also some kind of signals that the China's zero COVID policy, you know, whilst they weren't getting rid of it, they were kind of, they'd just kind of gone, you know what? It's 5 days, not 7 days anymore. And so markets were like, oh, we really like that too. And mm-hmm. there was like a little, there was a couple of little wins for Ukraine in the war against Russia. And so markets, because mm-hmm. that's another big one. So I think those are the two other massive stories, right? Like China's zero COVID. If there's sign that that might be ending, then that's a huge thing. And if there's even a glimmer of hope or a signal that the war in Ukraine's ending, then that could be a massive thing too. So maybe those things, they start adding on to each other and the markets put all that together and went,
yeah,
you beauty, let's go. We're off to the races.
Yeah, I think that's right. That said, the Federal Reserve Governor, Christopher Waller, so he's not the chair but one of the governors that sits on the Open Markets Committee, he was in Sydney and he said, the market seems to have gotten way out in front on this. Over this one CPI report.
Apparently in his press release, he used 9 A's when he spelled the word way.
No. He was talking at the UBS Australasia conference and the AFR's notes, his bemusement was clear from the way he stretched that word way just as about as far as it would go.
We need more of that. We need more personality in economics. Hopefully we try and bring that to you on this show. But, I like that.
I don't know if a Federal Governor Reserve Governor say markets are crazy.
I'd like to see Fed Chair Powell with a few more. Or maybe open with a joke next time at his at the Fed meeting. Yeah, when he fronts the media after the meeting and he raises interest rates. Rip off a few one-liners.
So it's good finally that we saw some evidence of inflation starting to come down, but I just cannot stress enough this one data point. We're going to need to see a continued run of this kind of behaviour and inflation slowly starting to come down before we start thinking about taking our foot off the brakes. So everybody should just take a deep breath and calm down. We've got a ways to go.
It's too late. It's too late. We got what we needed. Hooray. Thanks, Chris. Your words mean nothing to us. We're buying. All right, why don't we pause here? We'll grab a quick word from this week's sponsor and be back with more Comedian versus Economist right after this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
All right, Thomas, I want to talk to you about sickies, sick leave. Mm. I found this article during the week. You know, I read extensively. This was during my perusal of news.com.au. And apparently sick days are going to cost us $24 billion by the end of the year. What's going on?
Yeah, that was a study conducted. It was commissioned by Rentokil Initial.
Right.
The hygiene and pest control company.
Mm-hmm.
They found that, sick days are costing the economy $24 billion a year. Also that Gen Z are nearly twice as likely than baby boomers to call in sick, with the majority of young workers pulling the pin with minimal symptoms, according to Andrew Stone, managing director.
Just so hard to find good workers anymore.
I know.
I mean, you could also read that, of course, as Gen Z are almost twice as likely to listen to government health advice as boomers.
Not coming if you've got any COVID symptoms.
It's almost, almost like they paid attention to the massive advertising blitz that was on television for the last 2 years that said if you've got any symptoms, stay off public transport and stay out of the office.
Boomers are like, no one tells me what to do. I look at this one and I'm a bit like, eh. So it's commissioned by Rentokil as initial. So these guys do the hygiene, pest control, some conglomeration. I think they do like trough lollies, don't they? Like I see the Rentokil or initial in like public toilets.
Oh, like
and
the
stuff.
The public toilet sanitizing thing. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think they're all about like. Well, I think they're two companies, aren't they? Rentokil is like the pest extermination company. I'm making a shooting motion with my hands, but I don't know why. And then Initial is like a hygiene company. They do disinfecting and cleaning and stuff.
So they've got a vested interest in hygiene and sanitation.
Mm.
And they're doing a report on how much sick days cost the economy. It's $24 billion. Is that a big number?
Sounds big.
Is it not? Sounds big, but like how's it compare with comparable sized economies? Or is it up from last year or down from last year? Like a number out of context isn't that useful. It kind of sounds like news, but it's not actually that interesting. Like, should it be less? Should it be less?
I mean, we're not going to look into it. We're just going to question the number. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no. This is the first time they've done the study. They haven't done it yet before. So it's a number that talks about the importance of hygiene. It's a way. So what's going on here is Rentokil Initial says we need to get some coverage in the papers and push the conversation around how businesses can improve sanitization or buy more. Sorry, no. The first step is how do we get businesses to buy more of our product. Well, let's tell them that sanitation is important. Why is it important? Well, it's costing them money because people are getting sick. Okay, great. Right. That's our angle. Let's get a study that talks about that. All right. So let's just put a dollar. How do we do that? Well, let's just put a dollar number on how much sick days are costing us. Right. And then we'll get something in news.com.au and then that'll push the conversation and hopefully get more people to buy more of our stuff. That's what's going on here, right? And you see data points like this all the time.
Right. So it's not just a general community. And I must admit, right, so Anna was watching Today or Sunrise or something over the weekend and that's where I first heard the story. And so I'm like, ooh, this is like they mentioned it's costing the economy and I thought, brilliant, I've got something I can give to Tom. He's like, he'll be all over this. And I went and Googled it and this was the only one I could find was on news.com. I couldn't find any other reference to the story. So, so I think maybe, it's possibly true, it's a ruse.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, who knows how solid the survey construction is, like if you're going to get reasonable results. They surveyed 200 employers. Doesn't seem like a large sample. Maybe it is. If it was a well-selected sample of employers, that might be representative. But maybe, maybe not. You don't know. It's conducted by Frost and Sullivan. We don't know anything about them. Oh, no, we do. They're an American business consulting firm, offers market research analysis, growth strategy consultant and corporate training. Frost and Sullivan also issue industry awards based on research using a proprietary methodology, which is sometimes based on a single article produced by the receiver of the award. Organizations that receive a Frost and Sullivan award must pay a fee to communicate the outcome to the public.
Really?
Yeah.
What a system.
Yeah,
that's brilliant, Thomas. We're awarding you Economist of the Year. If you want to tell anyone, You need to give us $100.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. What a model.
Right. Well, yeah, great business model.
Wow.
Genius. Yeah, I so think they're the guys behind this study.
Right.
Which also, and the other thing, is they found that Gen Z was nearly twice as likely as baby boomers to call in sick.
Mm.
Which is obviously then it's all the baby boomers go, oh, yeah, Gen Z, they're, you know, weak as piss, they're hopeless. Mm. I guarantee you that
probably resonates with news.com.au readers.
It does that. I also reckon, I can guarantee you that Rentokil Initial have a list of their purchasing managers at all of their clients. With it, and there's a column in that spreadsheet that has their age.
Yeah, right.
And I'm pretty sure that they're all over 50.
Ooh, this is getting into it now. I like it. Right. What I thought, this is not where I thought this story would go. I thought you'd commend me on my discovering some solid economic data and bringing it to the podcast, and you've taken it to a slightly darker place, which I quite like.
Yeah. So that result that Gen Z is more than twice as likely to call in, like one, they probably should be. If they are actually sick, they should. They're doing the right thing by staying home.
Been telling people to do that for 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. But two, maybe it's not. Maybe that's just they've just cooked that article up and saying, like, you know, what would really resonate with our purchasing managers is something that sticks the boot into millennials and Gen Z. They love that.
I think the other thing, and I don't know if this is the right term for it, I think you might have used the term externalities before, which is, I think, is like external factors that might affect this data as well. And I remember...
That's not what that means.
No, isn't it? I felt good saying it. but there was, when the Queen passed away and we had a public holiday on the Thursday, like... If you're trying to have less sick days in the economy, then don't spring a public holiday on people on a Thursday. Like, even my Outlook calendar at work was like, I guess we're booking in Friday as focus time. Like, that's just that is a recipe for sick days. So, you know, like if you've got public holidays on Tuesdays or Thursdays, then I imagine that's gonna push up your sick days in the economy as well, costing us again millions. Yeah. And again, it's those Gen Z people gonna call up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Frost and Sullivan didn't look into that, should
they? Didn't factor that in. Before we go today, I just want to get to a couple of listener emails that came through, listener messages, which we really love here on the show. Lucy sent us an email, said she vaguely remembered listening to a story where a former tech genius is handing out crypto for free in an effort to establish a minimum living wage. Lucy, I can help you out with that one because she couldn't remember if it was on our podcast or some other incredible economics podcast that she listens to. I did go back. I found out it was in October 2021. We did an episode called Weaponizing Corporate Power in the Pacific, but we were talking about WorldCoin, which was talking raising a... I think, giving out like a dollar worth of crypto or something if you handed over your identity and put your identity on the blockchain, which I think if FTX has taught us anything this week, it's that you should be putting more of yourself into the crypto sphere. So hopefully that helps you, Lucy. Thank you very much for your email. And this was a good one. James sent us a message on Instagram at CVE Podcast. And Thomas, this is something I've heard a couple of people say now. But James actually said, I've noticed Thomas has developed a sense of humour, which is interesting. So there you go. Kudos to you. Yeah. Nice to have someone else funny in the family. No one ever compliments me on gaining an economic sense at all. Except Dad. Dad did it the other day, but Dad's coming off a very low bar.
Low bar. to coach you through high school maths. His expectations were angry.
I remember I went to him. I was like, Dad, look, I can tie my shoelaces. He goes, Adam, you're 25 years old. You should be able to tie your shoelaces. Thank you, James, for your message. Good to hear that you're enjoying enjoying the lols. Hopefully we're providing enough of them as well as some good information for you. And thank you to everyone out there who tunes in each and every week to Comedian versus Economist. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to go and rate the show, leave us a review. That would help us out enormously. And of course, check out the other episode if you haven't heard it yet. We did cover off FTX in great detail this week as a bonus episode. So go and take a listen to that if you haven't already. But other than that, it's bye for now. We'll catch you next time.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.